Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ms. Ramsey, I want to tell you that this interview is being both audio and video recorded. This is a voluntary statement. You're free to go or free to stop this interview at any time. Do you understand that?
Yes,
sir. Okay. Why are you here today?
Well, I have this is the beginning of a new page in trying to find out who murdered our daughter.
That was a clip from Patsy Ramsey's police interview in the late 90s. This is John Ramsey today.
We were told this later by the district attorney, was to release a lot of information to the media that was accusatory, suspicious, made us look guilty, potentially guilty. And the media would bring intense pressure on Patsy and I. One of us would crack, turn the other one in, confess, case would be solved. That was their whole strategy. That was the only strategy they had. And so the media, of course, ran with it big time and convinced 70% of the world that we were guilty of murdering our child. And then the police were kind of like, uh-oh, we can't bring a case because we don't have any evidence. So they kind of got backed into a corner like, dang, you know, we thought one of them was going to confess and we'd have solved the crime and we could have gone on TV, and it didn't happen.
Welcome to part two of The Killing of JonBenet Ramsey, The Final Suspects. I'm your host, Danielle Robay.
We do have a group here now on the ground, knocking on doors and talking to people who know what happened, who were there, who were involved, who have records.
This is JonBenet Ramsey expert, Jameson.
And hopefully we can do something to get this investigation advanced, no matter how it takes. If we have to do it, if we can get the cops to help us, that would be wonderful. If we could convince somebody to step in and take the case away from the police department and give it to a cold case group or the district attorney's office again, that would be wonderful. But we're determined to put every effort we can into getting this advanced.
But before they can begin to work on former lead Detective Smith's suspect list, we need to address the elephant in the room. From the moment John Ramsey discovered the body of his daughter in the cellar of their family home, he and wife Patsy had become prime suspects in her murder. As far as the Boulder police were concerned, one or both of them did it, period. And thanks to increasingly rabid media interest and a million online conspiracy theorists, that view became shared around the world. But was there ever really any evidence to back up this theory? In this episode, we're going to discuss the case against the Ramseys. This is Detective Robert Whitson, talking about the Boulder Police Department.
There's something called confirmation bias. And when you have that, you don't want to hear anything that's contrary to your theory. Once you've made up your mind, you don't want to hear anything that would be contrary to that. So I think that's what was occurring. Now, of course, they'll deny that.
According to figures from the U.S. Department of Justice, 74% of all murder victims in America know their killer. And over 1 in 5 victims are killed by a member of their own family. For the Boulder PD, the initial focus of their investigation was naturally JonBenet's parents, John and Patsy. Former sheriff's investigator John San Augustine explains.
From the onset of this investigation, the Boulder Police Department has focused on the Ramsey family. So, you know, what we're dealing with right now, even 23 years later, is a situation where, because of their lack of objectiveness, really, in this case, a lack of really pursuing the truth and only focusing on the family, they have not allowed themselves to look at other potential suspects.
Local news reporter Paula Woodward also remembers cops refusing to keep an open mind on the case.
As far as I know, the only suspects they really pursued were John and Patsy Ramsey. They have said that they pursued others, looked at others. From the information that I have in examining that investigation, they were locked onto the family by the first day, and they didn't change their focus. Still, they are suspects of the Boulder Police Department. Patsy and John's DNA did not match. Patsy and John's handwriting did not match to the ransom note, yet they still were suspects of the Boulder Police Department. Those are two pretty definitive pieces of evidence that exclude the family, but they were not excluded.
Boulder PD may have wanted to believe the Ramseys were guilty, but they had no actual proof John or Patsy were involved. And as days turned to weeks, and with the public demanding justice, many close to the case say the police began to manipulate the huge media interest to try to further their own cause.
The errors of the case that initially happened at the crime scene were compounded by Boulder police leaking misinformation on purpose and it being picked up by rookie media reporters and run. The first week, the leaks were things just outright untruths, like Patsy Ramsey wouldn't take a DNA test. Well, she had. That came from Boulder Police, from a police spokesperson. It was, again, very wrong, a travesty. I just don't know why Boulder Police would do that.
Robert Whitson was the on-call detective supervisor in Boulder in 1996 and one of the first officers on the scene. He was a part of the case from the start.
There started to be news leaks within the media. So obviously somebody, one or more people, were giving the news media information. Some of it was accurate, some of it was inaccurate, and we didn't know who was doing that. So based on that, the police department decided to really limit access as far as, you know, who could have any access to the information, which I completely understand why that was done. Unfortunately, that then hinders an investigation because sometimes you have somebody, one detective may have a piece of information that fits with a piece of information that another person has. And if you don't have that communication, if it gets basically locked down, then that may fall through the cracks in the system. So what happened at that point is just a few people became the, what I would call the ongoing investigative team, and they were the people that had access to the information. For the first 4 years after this murder occurred, I was told by detectives that were working that, who did not give any specifics, they just told me the Ramseys definitely were involved. That was definitely their focus, that the Ramseys were involved, and that's what I believed for the first 4 years. I think they had groupthink going on, and it was almost like tunnel vision. They were focused on Patsy Ramsey. That became the focus of this investigation.
I love solving puzzles. That's what true crime is to me, after all, just one big puzzle. When I want to take a break from the dark stuff, though, I like to lighten up my puzzle time with Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game where every level feels like uncovering a new layer in a story, one you get to take part in. I love that the game is challenging while not being frustrating. The best part for me is when I have to choose the fiends I want on my team for each level. I have to make sure I'm playing the best fiends possible based on their skill sets, and since every level is different, it requires me to choose wisely for every challenge. The more I play, the more fun it gets. Plus, you don't need the internet to play, so anytime I want a little entertainment, Best Fiends is my go-to. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play online. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
What began as an oddity, a shock news item about a murder in an affluent part of a sleepy Colorado town, soon developed into the biggest story in America. And everyone, it seemed, had an opinion.
It is a single homicide. What is the matter with these people out there? They should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree.
Whoever the killer was not concerned they were going to be caught.
The Boulder Police Department has this investigation well in hand.
The investigation is in shambles.
Her child beauty pageant pictures, and we had no idea that this was going on, had been leaked and sold to the media by the photographers who took them, and it was just out of control chaos. Like with the O.J. Simpson case, where people were making money, people in the media or purporting to be in the media were making money, having an opinion on the O.J. Simpson case, that's what happened on the Ramsey case. And there were people who said the Ramseys did it. They were publicly broadcasting this or writing it. And there were people who were saying an intruder did it. But by far, the Ramseys did it case was the one that was the most advanced. That's where people were the most shrill. And that's where ratings went up because the viewers and listeners were interested. That's where people made their money. And so they stuck with the Ramseys did it. It was really awful the way the media just did not do their jobs and made a decision that they were for one or for the other. And it was wrong, very wrong.
Former sheriff's investigator, John San Augustine.
When a law enforcement agent who's not involved in homicide investigations on a regular basis is conducting a murder investigation, you can understand there's probably going to be some mistakes because they don't do it. They don't do it with any level of regularity. They don't understand the dynamics of a homicide case. And nobody can say that somebody who's investigated narcotics or somebody who's investigated burglaries or armed robberies is the guy or the gal you want to go to investigate a case like this involving the murder of a six-year-old little girl. You just can't. You can't put that in the hands of an inexperienced individual. You need to have somebody with some familiarity with homicide and how an investigation like that, you know, how involved it is and why it's so important to, you know, do a proper investigation and gathering facts.
What you are about to hear are extracts from a long-buried police interview with Patsy Ramsey, an interview she undertook voluntarily.
Since that day, have you given any thought, even for a minute, considered that John may have been involved in some way in Germany's
life? Absolutely, no.
Allison?
Not a moment.
Thought never crossed your mind?
Never crossed my
mind. Why?
That man loved his children.
And I'm not saying that he thought about this, planned or conspired or something for months to carry this out. I'm saying, did you ever for a second think?
Not a second.
Maybe there was an accident.
No.
Could there have been an accident? Could John have accidentally bumped, pushed, struck John Bray?
No.
Not within the realm of possibility?
Not even.
Eventually, in September 1998, a grand jury was convened to consider indicting the Ramseys for charges relating to the case. We have tracked down a member of that jury.
My name is Jonathan Webb. I lived in Boulder, Colorado in the late 90s. I was a graduate student at the University of Colorado, and then I was brought in as a potential juror The process of a grand jury is where the prosecutor presents the information. There is no defense, lawyers or personnel there. It's simply the prosecutor presenting the evidence as they have found it. We were allowed to take notes, ask questions of the witnesses, and we saw a lot of information from everything from individuals that were related to the case, to handwriting experts, to medical experts doing the autopsy, etc. The one thing that really I've never forgotten is the testimony from a pediatric forensic pathologist from the University of Miami. And the shots of the we saw a lot of video and a lot of testimony, and the manner in which someone dies with the type of injury that JonBenet had, and the time course is something that will never leave me.
In 1999, after a year of hearing testimony and being presented with evidence from the Boulder police, the grand jury returned with what's called a true bill to charge the Ramseys with placing JonBenet at risk in a way that led to her death. In layman's terms, a kind of glorified child negligence. Not murder, not manslaughter. Following that, Boulder County DA Alex Hunter announced he would not be prosecuting the Ramseys on any charges, declaring that he did not believe that in a trial, he could prove them guilty beyond reasonable doubt.
Based upon the evidence that we saw, we were told the decision is a preponderance of the evidence for a grand jury. Which means if you get over 50%, 50.1% or more that you think someone might have done it, then you vote to indict. That is not beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence that I saw, if I sat on a regular jury, I would have never convicted anyone because it wasn't to the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. So I think that DA made the correct decision, and I was fine with it. I'm not fine with the fact that it's still an unsolved murder. I don't want that to be misinterpreted. But I simply don't believe the evidence was there to convict anyone. And it would have been a waste of the state's money to try and chase that, based upon the evidence at the time.
Alex Hunter made an announcement on a beautiful day in Boulder, and it was chaotic, and there were people all over the place and live trucks all over the place. That was in that era. He walked down the stairs of the district attorney building and walked into a park where a podium had been set up. And Alex Hunter, the district attorney, said, there will not be charges filed in the JonBenet Ramsey case. And the world exploded because that was not satisfactory. There had to be somebody responsible. After the Boulder district attorney announced he would not be filing charges, Boulder police then continued to try to find ways to find John and Patsy Ramsey guilty. The Boulder Police Department have said all along, hey, we looked at other people other than the Ramseys, but their focus remained on the Ramseys.
Unable to prove the Ramseys were guilty by means of actual detective work, the police even resorted to underhanded tactics, as this Fox News report from 1999 shows.
John and Patsy Ramsey at home, but not entirely at peace. The death of their daughter haunting them everywhere. And as they found out, there appears to be no refuge or sanctuary.
John and Patsy Ramsey had planned to talk to us at JonBenet's gravesite. But when they found out that the Boulder police had bugged this area near their daughter's resting place during the investigation, they were too offended to come here.
They should have some dignity someplace. And it just... I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. I'm so hurt.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boulder PD may have been sticking to their theory, but for other investigators, the evidence that JonBenet's parents were responsible for her death simply didn't stack up. Chief among them was Lead Detective Lou Smith, who was so convinced of their innocence, he continued investigating the case right up until his death in 2010. Amongst those who worked with him was John San Augustine.
So when Lou and I began looking at the evidence in this case, some of the things that stood out regarding a possible intruder, I think the number one thing was that there was a window that was broken in the basement area. There was a scuff mark along the back part of the wall there as you're coming, you know, just below that window that was broken and partially open. And there was also a suitcase that was perpendicular to that wall. What was interesting about the suitcase was that the suitcase was partially open and there was a piece of glass on top of that suitcase, indicating that possibly somebody had either entered there or had possibly tried to leave there. Now, what's also important about the suitcase is that inside of that was a duvet and a Dr. Seuss book, of which the fibers of which JonBenet was wearing the morning that she's discovered by her dad, those fibers were also found inside of the suitcase, indicating that possibly JonBenet was placed inside of that suitcase. Other evidence that shows that possibly there was an intruder was that there were marks on JonBenet that were noted at autopsy. More specifically, that there were two stun gun marks found on her face and on her back, of which both injuries were very similar. What we found out through Dr. Doberson was that those injuries were consistent with the stun gun.
Here is former Boulder detective Robert Whitson.
After I retired, I met Lou Smith. Lou was a detective who had worked over 200 homicides with a 90% clearance rate, and he had been brought in by the district attorney's office as a senior investigator for the Ramsey case. And Lou became the primary person to promote what we call the intruder theory, which is that somebody broke into the house and committed this murder. It wasn't somebody within the Ramsey's family. Lou went in and out of the window, showed how easy it was to get in there. We know the window was easily accessible because Mr. Ramsey had locked himself out like in August and broke that window and went in to get into the house and never repaired it. There was the suitcase that was placed right below the window. It appears to us that the person who was kidnapping her actually was going to put her in that suitcase and try to push her up through the window to exit, but he couldn't do that because there was just not enough room to push her up and then for him to get up inside.
The whole thing does not make sense. So it's Christmas night, two God-fearing parents, right, are going to kill their daughter. But what they're gonna do is they're gonna abduct her from her room, stun gun her twice, right? Sexually assault her with a paintbrush, strangle her. You know, the manner of death is homicide, cause of death was strangulation. But more importantly, after all that happens, there's also a blow to her head, which covers two occipital lobes, the equivalent of a 70 mile an hour car crash. So, I mean, why would mom and dad, and then, oh, by the way, they're gonna write a ransom note, and then they're going to call the police, even though the ransom note says don't call them. Then they're going to place her in a room of which, just by pure luck, none of the officers open that door, right? And then a detective comes and tells John Ramsey, which will never happen, hey, John, go look for things out of the ordinary. And lo and behold, he goes down to a door that was never opened by law enforcement that did two searches of that home, and John Ramsey comes across his daughter. I mean, the whole thing. You couldn't line up all the stars and moons the right way to get that scenario to play out.
The other thing is, where did all this evidence go to? We never found the source of the duct tape, never found the source of the white cord. The Ramseys, nobody can say that the Ramseys owned a stun gun. You also have the high-tech footprint that was found in the storage room where JonBenet's body was found. No source for that. Nobody in the Ramsey family had any shoes like that. Supposedly none of the police officers or anybody that went there had shoes like that. Oh, there were missing pages from the notepad. Those were never found. There was this beaver hair that was found on JonBenet, that Lou went through the whole house trying to find other beaver hairs because they said, well, Patsy Ramsey supposedly has a pair of boots with beaver hair on it. Never found any other beaver hairs. So there were a lot of other fibers and hairs that have never been associated with anybody. And then, of course, you have the DNA, the male DNA that was found that we still don't know whose DNA that is.
In 1998, John Ramsey, frustrated by an investigation seemingly hell-bent on only pursuing he and Patsy, wrote to District Attorney Alex Hunter through his attorney, Brian Morgan, once again reaffirming his willingness, despite everything, to do whatever it took to find his daughter's killer. On December 26, 2002, 6 years to the day after JonBenet's murder, Mary Lacey, who had succeeded Alex Hunter as Boulder County District Attorney, took over the case. Within months, she too subscribed to Lou Smith's theory that an intruder was most likely responsible for JonBenet's death. And in July 2008, she announced that the Ramseys were excluded as suspects and publicly exonerated them. Here's reporter Paula Woodward.
Mary Lacey came from a sex crimes background. That was her area of expertise. Those are the cases that she studied for years. In trying to resolve the JonBenet Ramsey murder, she looked at, with her investigators, things that had not been tested for DNA in the JonBenet Ramsey case. And one of the things she found was a pair of long johns. The long johns were sent to the same testing lab. The first DNA from her panties and her fingernails was identified in 1997. DNA was identified in the waistband of those long johns that matched the DNA that had been tested in 1997. It was a huge development. Mary Lacey then went on to exonerate the Ramseys in a letter that received a lot of criticism. She said the reason that she exonerated the Ramseys after her second DNA testing matched the first was because the case was on a road to try to convict the Ramseys and involve the death penalty. And she didn't think they were guilty. And she felt someone in a position of authority, even though it was a very unusual and highly criticized move, should exonerate them. So she did.
Tragically, Patsy Ramsey never lived to receive that exoneration. In 2002, the ovarian cancer she had first been diagnosed with in 1993 returned, and she died in 2006 at age 49. She is now buried next to her daughter. Here she is speaking to investigators in 1998.
I'm sure that since JonBenet's death, that there's been a lot more pressure, you know, the pressure of the investigation, the media, whether to have an interview, when it's going to be, where, if there is. Does this kind of wear on you too, this whole process?
Of course.
And how do you cope with that?
I try not to let myself get too tired, because then I kind of fall to pieces and cry a lot and get a little depressed. So I really try to manage my health, sort of. You know, I try to get a lot of rest and eat well, and we have taken our TV out, we don't get a newspaper. You know, you just can't see it, because the few times that I have inadvertently seen something, one time there was a thing on TV, and I can hear, I just go, yeah, and I mean, it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, it was just like, they're talking about me. And, I mean, I was in bed for 2 days, literally in bed, and John took the TV out and just cut off the tape, because it's just, you just can't. It's horrible. It's like you're watching a movie of somebody else's life.
Former detectives John San Augustine and Robert Whitson also believe that progress can still be made, despite the mistakes of the past.
As we look at this case, again, we look at the two theories, whether or not there was an intruder who did this or the family. And I will tell you that there are a number of investigators who have well over a couple hundred years of experience in investigations who all say that the murder of JonBenet Ramsey was not done by the family, but by intruders or an intruder.
The problem is the Boulder Police Department still to this day will not come out and give any information. You know, it's been 23 years. I think at this point, you need to come out and let people know. What have you done? Have you looked at other people? Have you not looked at other people? What are you doing?
Still today, there are still a number of leads that have never been followed up by law enforcement. It is my understanding that approximately 3,000 leads came into the Boulder Police Department in the onset of this investigation, of which still a number of them have never been followed up.
My understanding is there were several fibers and animal hairs that were never sourced. So I had a source of cat hair from the suspect. You know, was that ever tested? I don't know. They're not saying anything. I was told that one of the neighbors of the Ramseys had reported about a month before JonBenet's murder that there was somebody leaving cigarette butts in their backyard. And I was told supposedly an officer responded and collected one of those cigarette butts. Now, keep in mind, this was prior to DNA. So it may have come into property and evidence, and because there was no DNA available, you know, it was discarded. But if it was kept for a while, the question is, was that DNA from a cigarette butt ever tested? Because we know in the past that has been one of the methods of operation of sex assault suspects, where they will be in the area watching and doing kind of a surveillance of a place that they want to break into and be out there smoking while they're watching the subject's home.
And former grand jury member Jonathan Webb agrees that DNA will be the key to finally securing justice for JonBenet.
The advances in analytical technology has been dramatic. And if money was dedicated and the evidence was preserved, my belief is that analytical technology could solve this crime. You'd have to have a dogged detective who's dedicated and focused, funded well, and given the best analytical tools and allowed to do his or her work. And if that is the case, I think it would be solved.
Next time, on the killing of JonBenet, the final suspects.
The other day I saw a father walking with a little girl. She was probably five. He had this, you know, they were holding hands. They're walking down the street. That really kind of just tugged at my heart. I thought, yeah, it should be me. Well, here's my poor grandchildren, particularly those that have my last name, Ramsey. It needs to be resolved for their sake. It's not going to change my life. There's still going to be people out there that think I'm guilty, and that's life. It's not people that I know, not people I care to be friends with, but it'll affect my children and my grandchildren if we don't get an answer.
The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, is hosted by me, Danielle Robey. Executive produced by Dylan Howard and Matt Sprouse, and is a production of Broad and Water Studios and Endeavor Audio. Executive producers also include Tom Freestone, Doug Longini, Susan Bennett, James Robertson, and Andy Tillett. The series is written by Dominic Utten. Reporting by Doug Montero. The series is mixed and engineered by Sean Kravitz and Sam Ada. There is so much more to this story, and you don't want to miss anything, I can assure you. Subscribe to The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects, wherever you get podcasts. If you have any information that could help our investigators and the Ramseys identify JonBenet's killer, please help us at tips@justiceforjonbenet.com.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Allow your imagination to be piqued by stories that are brought to life through captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. As an Audible member, you'll be able to keep your heart rate up month after month because you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. If you're in the mood for a shocking psychological thriller, check out None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. Embrace brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.